The hatty kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Monday night. You know, I don't know if it's a happy Monday. It's Monday night, so I guess that's happy as opposed to being a Monday morning, right? Maybe that's how you look at it. I don't know. What's going on, everybody? You were checking out Plum Love Food Live right here, the number one food talk radio program, digital audio program, soon to be podcasted program on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, FM, and anywhere else you can find your podcast after this show airs live. And currently, you are checking us out live. That's right, guys. Tonight, I am hanging out down here at the basement, in the house, sitting at the bar, just poured myself a couple of cold Newcastle Brown Ales after a long, long day. It's been a hell of a day, but it's been one of those, you know, bucket list type days, and man, what a great day it's been, guys. I tell you what, if you've been on Instagram, if you've been on them Twitters, if you've been anywhere near social media and you follow yours truly, my name is Chef Plum. I am sitting, we'll get to it, you know who the fuck I am, it's my damn show, you're checking it out, you listen to me, you download me every week. Look, today was one of those days that's called bucket list. That's right, a bucket list day for yours truly as I sit here at the bar chilling, enjoying a nice cold Newcastle Brown Ale off the tap. Look, yes, I came to play. I could turn this shit off for a minute. Here we go. I want to talk. Just turn it off. Thank you. Here we go. Listen, today was one of those bucket list days for me, man. It's been, listen, I've had some unbelievable opportunities in my life to do some incredibly cool things, and I really just can't even imagine how it's happened for the most part. They just kind of happen. I'm there. We kind of, I don't know, I guess we've pushed to make a lot of things happen. However, today's events happened because of just some friends of mine, and a big thank you and shout out to my friend Anna Zapp and my friend Raven over there at the Anna and Raven Show on Star 99.9 here locally in Connecticut, down by, if you're in the Norwalk, Stamford, even in the city, you can catch their show. They air in the morning time. I think it's like 6 to 9 or some crazy ungodly hour in the morning. They're going to try to do radio. They air then. It's a great show. Listen, it's a safe show, but it's a lot of fun. I dig them a lot. It's great. I check it out when I'm driving my kids to school. Totally dig talking to them. They invited me to go. When I was there doing their show for Thanksgiving, they asked me, they said, Chef. And I said, yes. And they said, hey, we're all going to go see Jerry Springer in a couple weeks. Do you want to go? And I was like, I don't know. I'll get back to you on it. I got in the car to go home, and I thought to myself, why the hell would you say, hell yeah, you want to go see Jerry Springer? So I ended up getting home. I emailed her back. I know that has nothing to do with food, you guys, but it's a great story. I get back to the house. I sit down at my computer to do a little paperwork, and I go, I'm going to email Anna right now and tell her, yeah, I want to go see Jerry Springer. Holy shit. I went. Thankfully, they took a big bus. I wasn't riding on a bus with a bunch of people. That's crazy talk. I can't handle that. But we went. Unbelievable experience. I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to bring my good friend and my sous chef, the Adonis-like Eric Redline, my man Red Leader. You can follow him on Instagram. He got to come with me. There's a great Periscope video. Listen, if you guys haven't, if you don't follow me on Periscope or you haven't seen Periscope, you don't know what Periscope is, just Google Periscope, download the shit, type in my name, and there's a fantastic Periscope video. The good thing about Periscope, these videos disappear in like 24 hours. And they're gone forever and always. And it's a great video there of myself, Anna and Raven, hanging out. And we were in the front row. the absolute front row of this television program being taped. And we sat through two tapings, and let me tell you something, lots of fun. Also tonight on the show, well, we're going to have tonight, you know, my man Chef Eric's going to call me in a second. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the show and talk about how it went down and whatnot. It's kind of awesome. But also tonight, we have got friend of the show, regular here on the show, and my good buddy, we met on a show called The Taste. My friend Chef Kyle Shute is calling in from the City of Angels, Los Angeles. He's going to call in. Great dude. And finally, I think tonight we're going to have our debate whether food is more science or more art. And you're not going to believe where I thought, especially after being a guy who just went to Jerry Springer. So it'll be pretty interesting. But he's calling in tonight. He's awesome. He's an incredible chef. If you haven't checked out some of his food and what he's got going on, you definitely should, because he's an amazing chef doing some really cool things. And the coolest thing about Chef Kyle is the only human being on the planet to go on fucking Cutthroat Kitchen. He's on that program, didn't spend a penny, and the son of a bitch won. Drives me crazy. He wins. I get eliminated in the first round because I had to play golf with fucking eggs. But in the meantime, we're going to talk to Chef Kyle here in a little while. He's going to give us a call at about 20 after. In the meantime, I got to bring in a buddy of mine here to talk a little bit about this day, because let me tell you something. This day was one of those days that's going to live in infamy, and it's one of those days that is just, I don't know, man. I call them culinary adventures.
We would like to invite you on a journey, a tale of an instrument of death. Watch us as we pass the axe.
I took the axe off the shelf in the tool shed. It's telling me I got a fucking bloody
defenseless. I had to bring it in with something kind of crazy. Bro, you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, man. I had to bring you in with some crazy shit because we went through a crazy-ass experience today, bro. Everybody, it's my sushi. The Red Leader himself, the Adonis-like Eric Redline coming in. He hung out with me today at the Jerry Springer Show. Bro, what the fuck did we do today?
Oh, my God, dude. We were fucking screaming at bitches, smacking each other. We were yelling at dudes to grab each other's weaves. It was fucking nuts, dude.
That chick, I think she was a chick. Was she a chick or was she a dude? She smacked the other guy with a bouquet of flowers. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
So we
that
get
dude
there.
Was, like,
we,
crying or something?
It was insane. So I we get asked to go and hang out with our friends over Star 99. Can't say enough about Anna and Raven, how cool they are, you know?
Oh, my God, they were awesome.
Asked if we want to go see Jerry Springer taping. We said yes. We get there, and we get there, and so just tell the story a little bit, man. So we walk in the door. We get through the security line, and it's like this big holding area, kind of like with these giant glass windows looking out to the city of Stanford. They've got some little crazy store selling all the Jerry Springer gimmicks and what else. But then there's a guy playing music and this giant Christmas tree, and we're just acting a fool in there.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's kind of like an MC type guy, right?
Yeah. I think it was MCJ Hype.
That's right, MCJ Hype, which is hysterical because we don't get hype. What do? We stay hype.
We stay hype.
That's right. We stay hype, bitches. Damn right. So he's running all of his gimmicks and talking all of his shit and getting everybody fired up. It's kind of like he's kind of like the opening act. Isn't that the best way to put it?
Yeah. He had people humping poles and doing mating calls.
That's true. He did. That did happen. So fortunately, being the fancy people we are, we got to – they brought us in. Right with Anna and Raven, and we got to hang out with them, and we walk into the giant studio. I mean, it's a pretty big-ass studio. How many people do you think fit in that studio, bro?
There's probably, like, 60 people in there.
You say 60?
I just feel like there's that many, yeah.
I was thinking 200.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
As it could have been, actually. I'm not really good with numbers, you know?
No, you're definitely not very good with numbers. my guess was 150 to 200 people inside that studio. And we look, and there's like three sections of kind of raised seating going up, almost like, you know, theater style in a movie theater. And then there's one section of three rows right in the middle, right in front of the stage. And where do we get to sit?
Right in front of the stage.
Right in front of the stage, that's right. So it was Raven from Anna and Raven, you, myself, some other people sitting beside us, and then we were kind of in the second row, and then in the front row was Anna and her friend Olivia. And you guys understand, Anna's about 4 foot nothing, 100 pounds of nothing. She's this tiny little girl. And the entire time that we're sitting there making jokes and being jackasses and goofballs, Raven points out to us, the co-host of their radio show, that on the screens, they're getting everybody pumped up by showing all these Jerry Springer fight videos and girls getting naked videos. Like, how fucked up was that?
That was too hot to show real.
Yeah, it definitely was. I was too hot. Yeah, I was down with it. I was kind of for a little bit more nakedness on our show, but nonetheless, it was still a very entertaining program. But I just keep thinking, man, if some giant fight breaks out, our only protection is Anna.
Yeah, she'd take the brute force of it.
Yeah, that's for sure. No doubt about it. So we're sitting there, we're hanging out, man, and we're watching these guys, and the things come on. And I mean, what do you think? We saw some fucking insane shit. The first thing we saw was a couple of lesbian girls, and one of them wasn't sure if she wanted to be a lesbian, and she'd been with a dude, and they bring the dude out, and the lesbian girl, she hits the guy. Was it real or was it fake, that one? What do you think?
I mean, she proposed, and, you know, to do something like that on TV and to be turned down like that, that's not something you just, you know, you smile about 2 minutes after. I'm going to have to say that one was a little posed.
Yeah, I think that was the work, man. I'm pretty sure it was the work. I don't know. I mean,
I would be devastated.
Yeah, I mean,
no way I would have reacted like that.
Yeah, right? It just seemed a little bit nuts. Like, you would think that you're watching this program, and you know what you say? I'm going to invite this girl to go on here so I can ask her to marry me. And the second, it was such garbage, man, because the first thing that happened was she sits down, she's telling her story to Jerry, who, by the way, is the most down-to-earth, coolest guy. I mean, how cool is Jerry Springer?
Oh, my God. He's hilarious.
I mean, he's got to be 197 years old, but that guy himself is a guy I would love to sit down and have a cocktail with, because I bet he's got some fucking stories, you know?
Holy shit, he does.
What did he say about it? Tell everybody what he said to you about the show when you were when we were talking and at the beginning, and he was just like, I don't know why anybody. What did he say about the show?
Well, he was saying he doesn't know why people watch this crap. You know, he's the host show, but he doesn't know what's going to go on. He doesn't know their names. He just asks some questions about their problems and tries to help them.
I swear, I think everything in life is pro wrestling. I'm not sure if he was working us or not when he said he doesn't know what the people's stories are. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, I'm not too sure about that, because if he did, you know, he played it off real well.
But listen, like, I've done a lot of television. You've been with me doing a lot of television. I mean, how often in doing TV do they not know what's going to happen?
Yeah, you're right. They definitely have control over it.
No doubt. So I don't know. I don't. What was the second one we saw? So that was the lesbian girl, and then she brought the dude out, and they had a little skirmish. And you know what was garbage about that first one was, and I wanted to say it when I was watching the show when they asked for comments. So the doorbell rings after she tells her story for 5 or 6 minutes, and it's a giant box being delivered to the door, and they open it up, and holy shit. It's like the worst gift ever. So we learned today that whenever a lesbian is there and she sends you a gift in a giant box, it's probably garbage, right?
It's from Walmart, she said.
What a fucking letdown. I think myself, Raven, and you, we were all constantly hoping to God it was going to be a midget. I was hoping it was going to be a midget.
Oh, my God. I thought it was. Like, it was moving around like it was.
Dude.
They had two dudes carrying it on.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing ever. I'm telling you. And so the second one we saw, it was the second, like, storyline. What was it?
You know, remember? I'm trying to remember. I remember the pissed off dude.
We saw so much fun today.
It was the chick with the chain dude.
No, you know who it was? It was the girl who came out and she slept with the dude. But it was the girl. She was like, my thermostat was broken. And so I was taking my clothes off. Yeah, see if you can tell that story for me.
With the boots, Justin Bieber was there.
Oh, my God. Tell him about it. You run it.
The dude looked like Justin Bieber. He cheated on his girlfriend because he went to the house she went to. She went to some dude's house. He followed her to the house, saw her shoes were in the door, like, looked up the stairs and called her name, which she didn't answer. So he went up and saw her in her underwear on the bed. So he immediately thought that she was cheating. So he, like, ran away, cheated on her, and then she explained that the thermostat was broken and the guy in the house wasn't there, and she was there with the dude's girlfriend, and, like, it was so bullshit. Like, the thermostat was broken, so you took all your clothes off, like, you're not going to open a window or something. Like, it was ridiculous. And then
man,
they wound up back together.
It's amazing how much, yeah, you're right. They ended up back together. And what in the comments? What did somebody say to them? Looks like somebody had the sale in the same dress, just different colors at Walmart. Man, I mean, these are literally the best people on the planet Earth, don't you think?
Oh my God.
I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say. So overall, you look at what we got to go do today, being a part of this show, and you're there, we're there, we're hanging out, we're watching these things happen. I mean, they've got it down to a science. It's funny. It's a lot like food television programming, how much down to a science they've got this. Sit here. Okay. Here's how you react. Here's when you're going to react. And they even had a guy telling us how we were going to react, didn't they?
Yeah, phones off all the way. You smile when I say smile, you laugh when I say laugh, you jump when I say jump.
Hell yeah. Well, what a great opportunity we have to do that. And more importantly, I've got a video which is going to be very incriminating for you. Called up during, I guess what we call the halftime show. You got to play a little cowbell in front of these the live studio audience, and they kind of do like a show to kind of entertain everybody while it's in between shows because they keep you there for a long time. And my guy, MC, what was his name?
J Hype?
Yeah, my man, MC J Hype. He did a fantastic job. Doing that job is not an easy job to do. He was doing games with people and whatnot. And so what happened was you got to follow him on Instagram or something, right?
Yeah, I followed him.
And then what happened?
Well, he called me up. I guess I could have denied being a leader, but I can't really do that.
No, you can't do that. You got to just go with it.
So he said he had a fever, and the only prescription was more cowbell.
So reached in your back pocket, you pulled out your cowbells you bring everywhere you go.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Blue Oyster Cult turns on.
I beat the shit out of that cowbell.
And not only that, you jumped around the stage like a complete crazy person. It was awesome. Then when they had somebody else try to come up, she had no idea what the gimmick was. She had no fucking clue. It was like you versus this girl. She had no idea about the fucking song, the gimmick. She grabs the cowbell, lightly tapping it. You immediately, just like you should, steal the audience from her and start dancing on the stripper pole.
Hell yeah. I was watching the video again, and I could hear people shouting for me. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how in the fuck you got the idea to jump on the stripper pole, because that's fucking genius.
I, like, kicked the security guard in the head.
Did you?
Yeah, he was sitting down. He didn't even see me go on it.
Well, it's nice to finally give you and have you get the opportunity to go out there and do something like that. I was laughing my balls off. I do have this incriminating video, and I can't wait to show it when we're doing our victory dance after our catering this weekend.
Hell yeah.
Good-ass times on the Jerry Springer Show. Would you go back and check it out again?
Every day.
Every day.
That was hilarious. That's good for your heart, man. That was a good time.
I want to just really quick. You say it's good for your heart. Why? Tell me why.
Dude, I was laughing the entire time. I think we were all smiling. It was just positive energy. You know, I mean, the people on the show had shitty problems, but Jerry made everything hilarious. I mean, he was telling jokes about Six Flags. It was nuts.
Oh my God, when that bitch threw water on the other girl and it got all over Jerry, all he wanted to make was some kind of crazy ass joke, but he.
this is dry cleaning only.
Oh my God, what a great, great, great day, man. It was a long day for sure, but listen, if you're ever in the tri-state area, highly recommend, and I think my man Chef Redline would have recommended too. Check him out. The tickets are free. I don't understand how on earth people should just go do this all the time, don't you think?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, there are people going on dates here, and that's perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of a shitty date, though. What did Jerry say earlier? Hey, you got her a free ticket to go to...
Where's the money?
Oh, my God. What a great time, man. So happy I got to share that opportunity with you to go and be a part of that. I'll tell you what, man. It just falls in line with our number of adventures we get to do, doesn't it?
Hell yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense how the fuck we get to do these things. And, again, I appreciate you coming with me and being a part of it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, come on, man. Thank you for getting up on stage and dancing on the stripper pole. I have no idea how you got that idea or why anybody even think about doing that in front of a crowd.
I don't know. It was there.
No, motherfucker, I told you to do it.
I know. Use the chair.
Yeah, that's right. Fucking hanging out at the Jerry Springer show with my man, my sous chef, my right-hand man, Redline himself. He could tell him where to find you on social media, bro.
Red Leader. I'm pretty sure that's it. There's probably some numbers. I'm sure if you're following Chef Plum, I'll be on there somewhere.
There you go. And, dude, again, great time. I know it's not very food-related, but I had to come in here and talk about it a little bit because we spent so much time there today, and what an incredible experience. They took great care of us. I want to throw a big shout-out to my friends Anna and Raven for inviting us to come along. We appreciate it and look forward to more fun things down the road.
Yeah, hell yeah.
My man. Dude, I appreciate you calling in and sharing the experience with us, and we'll – you ready for this? I know you hate this. We're going to catch you on down the road.
Anytime, man.
Dude, I'll holler at you later on, all right?
Yes, sir.
Peace. There he is right there. That's my man, Chef Eric Redline, coming on my sous chef, talking about our experience today at the Jerry Springer Show. What a fun fucking trip that was, man. Unbelievable. You guys are checking out Plum Love Foods Live, and I am your host, Chef Plum, your culinary Jedi known as Trash Talker Skywalker. I'm going to take a two-minute breather here to pour myself another cold Newcastle here from the tap. I'm going to play one quick spot for my good friends over at Ergo Chef, and we're going to come right back with my buddy, the one and only Chef Kyle Schutte. Hang tight, guys. I'll be right back. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's right, everybody. It's time for a live read. What's that? Live read. That's where I make it sound like I'm talking about a product. However, I'm kind of just trying to sell you on something. But I'm actually not. Look, it's the holidays. Things are happening. How many people out there are Amazon Prime members? Dude, I know I am. And let me tell you something right now. Amazon has partnered up with Love Foods on website. Let me tell you something. If you're looking to do any shopping, if you're looking to get that special Christmas present, last-minute present, you can order because if you're a Prime member, two-day delivery, brother, 2 days. Here's what you can do. Just make sure when you go to Amazon, I'm not asking you to buy anything extra. I'm not asking you to pay an extra tab. Listen, maybe when you see me, you want to buy me a beer. That's cool. But you don't have to pay anything extra. Just go to Amazon.com. But when you go there, the first thing I want you to do is go to PlumLoveFoods.com. And on my website, you'll see a banner that says Amazon.com. Just click that before you go to Amazon. Click that. Takes you right through to the regular Amazon you all know and love. You buy stuff from. Nothing different. The only thing they do is they throw us a shekel or two. That's it. To help keep this radio show free for everybody on Monday night. So check them out. Amazon.com. Just go there via PlumLoveFoods.com. The holiday season. Come on. OG at a Yankee game. Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee chain. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click, though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling rock. We'll be right back. coming back live right now. I guess we're not coming back live. I was live when I was doing that live read. Let me tell you something. It's not actually a read. It's me talking about Amazon.com through my website off the top of my head. That's right, folks. I am a professional broadcaster. Right now, joining me on the horn is one of my close personal buddies. We've had many experiences together. The one, the only, Chef Kyle Schutte. Chef, what's up, brother?
What's going on?
Dude, I have had the most fucked up day you've ever had in the world, and I don't even know how to explain it, but I'm capping it off by having a conversation with you, sir.
Well, that's a good thing, right? Or is it making it that much worse?
No, nah, man, it's awesome. It's been an awesome day, man. And listen, you are a very special guest in this program. We started season three, and you have been on every season of this program.
Oh, that's rad. I can't be the only one. You got other people on all the time, right?
No, you are the only one who's been on every season of this program now.
Oh, hot damn. Look at that.
See?
So that means that I'm the only one that can be the only one moving forward.
That's right. Well,
I'm the only one ever.
Well, dude, the door is open all the time. You know that. And the thing is, what's amazing is how the first episode of this show, compared to the episode that we're doing right now, the amount of listeners is probably, I don't even know if there's a word for like it's probably tenfold what it used to be. So we have to be careful.
Oh, so there's 11 people listening tonight? 10 people?
That was a little shot, and that hurt a little bit. That was right in the ribs, just so you know. That caught me right in the ribs. I wasn't paying attention. So that I set myself up for that. I was trying to put you over, make you sound good, but I forgot who I'm talking to, so I better be prepared to fight, right? Is that how we're doing? Dude,
yeah,
what's going on,
man?
What are you up to these days? What's happening? And is it still daylight out in L.A. right now?
No, it's been dark for hours. I wish it was daylight. It seems to get darker here earlier than it does out east.
Yeah, I miss your city tremendously, dude. I haven't been there in too long, and hopefully soon I'll be back there. Maybe sooner than later. So what's going on with you, man? You took over another restaurant.
Well,
you got things. What's the story?
Yeah, let me start by telling you this. It's about 75 degrees here today, so I'm not complaining.
Ugh.
Actually, 75 degrees, sun was out. Wow. The difference is next week you guys will be buried in snow, and it'll still be 65 degrees here.
Well, I just sent a big thank you note over to Al Gore. Like, you know what? Global warming, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm kind of down with it.
No, he's against it. You realize that. You should not be sending the thank you notes his way. You should be sending them the other way.
Oh. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, you kind of got that one messed up.
Well, you know, thanks for pointing out my fucked up joke. I thought it was pretty good. It got a laugh for a second, and then you realize that was wrong. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so right now I am the culinary director at a place in Hollywood called Wood and Vine, which is right on Hollywood Boulevard. It couldn't be more Hollywood if it wanted to be. So I came aboard there in May, and it was supposed to be like a one-month temporary get our shit in gear situation. And after 2 weeks, they begged me to stay, and so I've been on there ever since. But we flipped the entire kitchen. I've put out two different menus for them now, and we're just doing it. So in addition to that, I'm still getting my place open in Beverly Hills. We have a second prospect in Beverly Hills. We're looking at a place in downtown LA in the Arts District, and then I'm helping some people open a little like grilled pizza cafe in Burbank. So I got my hands full.
Holy shit. Do you remember your wife? Have you seen her lately?
Yeah, no. So yeah, I mean, she makes sure that I remember her. I have to, you know, at least a day a week is designated to her, but she's doing her own thing too. She's got two fashion jobs and all that fun stuff. So we're busy people. We're just, you know, trying to make a living for ourselves these days.
Oh, wow, man, that's awesome. I tell you what, we've had a couple of conversations in the past, and it sounds like things are going a little bit more positive for you these days, and I'm so happy to hear that because you're such a great guy, and you deserve to have that for sure. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I spent the entire day today at the Jerry Springer show. That's what we were talking about at the front half of the show, and I highly recommend if you ever come visit me here, I'm taking you to the Jerry Springer show. Such a good-ass time, dude.
Okay.
The last time you were on the show, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about the art versus science thing when it comes to food with you, because I know you're very I think you and I are different when it comes to it a little bit. Not a whole lot. I think we're kind of see eye to eye on some of the stuff. We've had a number of late night conversations about this stuff, and it always gets weird when you start talking.
Last time I came on your show, and I think it's important that your listeners understand this about you, we touched on it during the show, and then you called me after the show, and we had another two-hour conversation about it. This is not stuff that you're talking about it because you're, like, that passionate about it, and you're that interested in it. So, I thought that was pretty interesting last time. My wife was like, get off the phone. You just got off the phone. Why are you on the phone again? And I'm like, we're talking about philosophical things here when it comes to food. So I could be on the phone for quite a while.
Well, there's the two things I want to touch on you with tonight, man. It's funny because we're getting so many young culinarians checking out this show these days. And of course, with hanging out with all the True Cooks guys who check out this show, it's funny how much we talk about food now on the show. It's not so much about, you know, we started this program to be about interviewing cool people and food TV type things. And it's really kind of veered off from that and become more about the food thing, you know, food aspect of things, you know, kind of touching on that part as well, but more about that. And
so well, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, when people devote their lives to something, it's only what I do for a very limited amount of time, and then it's why do I do this for the rest of their lives. And so that's just the natural progression of these kind of conversations, I think.
That's some deep shit right there. You're absolutely right about that. But so the two things I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, you were born and raised here on the East Coast. I want to talk first a little bit about what you think the differences are between East Coast and West Coast food. If you can sum it up in a couple of sentences, East Coast versus West Coast food. I mean, you're a Los Angeles staple at this point. Everyone knows who you are. You've been written up a gajillion times. There's always something going on with you. So you definitely have a good feel on West Coast food. But how could you compare that to East Coast food?
Well, it's really simple. So, well, I mean, there's a couple different things. So the food itself, out here, it is, with the reputable places, 100% driven by what's in the market, like by the farmer's market, I mean. And we have a different market on every day of the week. We have the Wednesday farmer's market in Santa Monica. We have the Sunday market in Hollywood. We have, you know, the Monday market in West Hollywood. I mean, you can go down Torrance and blah, 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 blah. Every neighborhood has its own market, Studio City, Culver City. Little markets, big markets, world-known markets. And so I would say here it's 100% driven by that. On the East Coast, you know, there's not all – like a lot of the stuff, unfortunately, even, you know, I spent 5 years in Atlanta. Atlanta has got a lot of farms around it. It's surrounded by different kinds of agriculture. But a lot of this stuff is we depended on stuff coming out of California and stuff coming out of Mexico because, you know, it's snowing half the year.
Yeah.
So that I think that's the big thing. And I'll be honest with you, I think that I don't know if I can categorize the whole West Coast this way, but I think L.A. and to, you know, some degree, probably Portland, they're just finding themselves finally. They were kind of lost. They were exploring. They were experimenting. They were, you know, in L.A. for a long time, man, it was like, and this is just my opinion, I know some people are going to disagree with me, it was nipping on the heels of trends. So it was always just a little bit behind. They would see something that was popular somewhere else and, oh, man, we got to get that here. And by the time it was here, it was not in trend anymore.
L.A.
You know, so there have been trends.
L.A. has been behind.
Yeah, L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the other thing I'll tell you about L.A., and this is something that I could not understand for a long time. Now, there are trendsetters here. Like Wolfgang Puck opened Spago and changed the game. I mean, like that was like the equivalent of Jose Andres doing tapas, and now everyone's doing tapas. He did fusion. And everybody's like, oh, my God, this fusion thing. We all have to do it. We have to take Spanish and mesh it with Japanese. And it was like the Jay-Z Linkin Park mashup, you know, back in the day. Like, it blew everybody's mind. It was like, what just happened? But for the most part, when I came out here to L.A., I thought, you know, this is a trend-setting, art-driven town. You have it's the mecca of film, the mecca of TV, the mecca of music. It's got a great art scene. food has got to be up there, and it's not, dude. It at least it wasn't. And this was as close, like, as recent as, like, when I came here 6 years ago. And so, like, I really thought, like, you know, what is driving this? Like, it's like, literally, the food scene here was retarded compared to what I saw in D.C. or even Atlanta and, of course, New York and Chicago, right? So it's like, what is going on here? Well, I think what's going on here is you have all these people from all over the world and all over the country, and they just want the comfort food of home. And so you had a whole diverse city that was all serving the same comfort food from home, the same burger, the same mac and cheese. But now L.A. is really embracing its diverse neighborhoods. I mean, dude, we have a little Ethiopia here. Like, what? You know, we have Thai Town. We have every, like, little pocket. We have Koreatown is huge, you know? And so, like, that is what L.A. is really becoming. It's like a mash between, like, super seasonal ingredients and this really ethnic cuisine that's going on, these little ethnic pockets. And you know what the great thing about L.A. is like people that, especially people that are foodies, you know, if you live in L.A., you're going to drive and you're going to be comfortable driving and used to driving. And so people don't mind getting in their cars and driving out to, like, Bell, California, who no one outside of L.A. has ever heard of, to have, like, the best mind-blowing mole they've ever had in their lives. So, you know, that's what I think is going on here. I'll tell you this, and I know a lot of your listeners will appreciate this, and this is absolutely true, and I will stand by what I'm about to say forever. The best cooks, the people that are willing to slit their wrists for this craft, for this industry, are on the East Coast. And that has set back the West Coast big time. Like, and a part of it, I do believe, is this younger generation who got participation ribbons and think that they're entitled and they don't have to put in the work, or they grew up watching Bobby Flay grill some shit on the Food Network, so they think they don't have to put in the work and they're just going to be, like, you know, TV royalty. But, you know, I consider myself lucky to have grown up making minimum wage, not getting paid overtime, working 16, 17, 18 hours a day in a kitchen and busting my ass for the love of what I do. We don't really have that here. And I know that it's not just here. I mean, I just read a New York Times article that basically lays out we don't have any cooks left. And there's, you know, many reasons for that. Yeah. But it's bad out here.
Well, you know, you and I both, listen, we both have had success on television doing things. And, you know, I think we've said this before, the television success that we've had is more of a byproduct of the experience and work that we've put into this shit. I've been in this business for 20 years now, which is fucking crazy. I can't believe I'm that old, but it's the truth. I've been in this business for 20 years now.
Right.
And my television success, or food television success, not just necessarily always Food Network, but food television success, is definitely a byproduct of me slaving away in kitchens for years.
Right.
I mean, and you're talking about
people are reverse engineering that now. People are reverse engineering that. It's not put in the work and put out good food and maybe without thinking about it, I'll get some recognition on TV.
Yeah.
It's, okay, start at TV, and then what do I have to do to get there? And you know what? You might be able to get to TV, but you'll never be able to put out good food that way.
No. And you'll never be able to take out someone like myself or you and be on a line and actually work the craft. Because make no mistake, it's a craft. It is right. Someone who works with their hands. It's a fucking, I mean, it's a craft. It's a skill. You're never going to be...
I see you steering us. I see you steering me and your audience into your point of view here. I see it. Don't be fooled by this guy.
Come on, I thought that was pretty good, though, wasn't it? That's a good segue. What do you think? Nothing professional broadcast. I'm getting good at this shit, brother.
It was a professional segue, but it was also steering your audience to believe your point of view before we even lay out
okay,
the question. So no, that was dynamite. That was dynamite. Like, you should run for president. I but you got my vote.
Well, I like Muslims, so I don't think I'm allowed to or some shit. I'm not sure what the thing is these days. But I wasn't going to go fully there yet because I do believe it's a craft. We work with our hands. We understand what it takes to make these things happen. And not only that, we understand the camaraderie of the people that you're going to be working with. We understand the feeling of, you know, I don't like to say this a lot anymore because I think it's kind of passe, but of going to battle on a Friday night, going to battle on Mother's Day, you know, when you have to get, you right. know, you're going to get your fucking ass handed to you for 12 hours. And there's no breaks.
Right.
There's none of that horse shit. You're getting your ass kicked for 12 hours straight, and no one wants to hear it that you're tired, you want to drink. No one gives a fuck. You're going to get your ass handed to you.
Right.
These other guys who jump in this business, they go to culinary school, they take one little job, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to go be on the Food Network. And let me tell you something right now, bro. I've had an experience recently that is going to make me turn heel on the Food Network, and that's going to happen soon. I recently got asked to go to a Food Network star audition, right? The new one coming out. And
right.
This is no one's heard
sure.
the story. I was saving it to tell you this story because you will appreciate it. And I go there, and they tell me that I almost have too much experience now. The network is looking for more amateur-style people to be on this program. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's a joke.
I have television experience. Any of these people, are you fucking kidding me? You don't want me on there because I actually know what a sous vide means? I actually know how
right.
to cook a steak to the right temperature? You'd rather have Mama fucking Vern come over and has no idea what she's doing but can make a meatball? I think that's what's happening with food television.
I think that's what's happening with some food television, and I think that's why, and I don't know that we're ready for it, and I don't think that there's the financial backing for it yet, but I think there's going to be a real thirst for a channel. Maybe it's on the internet. I don't know. I hope not. I hate internet TV, but
well,
a channel
that
that's
them.
Geared towards the professional chef.
Yeah, and we aren't going
the Food
that
Network
way.
Is not, you know.
No, completely not. And I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, you find amateurs that can do this. And listen, I can follow a recipe just as great as any other amateur can. You know what I mean? But what the fuck are they going to learn from that? Listen, I think you learn every time.
Well, I'll tell you
recipe,
what. Like, yeah,
go ahead. Well,
I was going to say, I have professional cooks in my kitchen that I give a recipe to, and it's not like a pinch of this and a dash of that. It's to the milliliter and the gram,
yeah.
and they F it up, they screw it up every time because they don't have the fundamental learning blocks, the building blocks, the foundation of cooking, and they can't do a recipe that's literally
right.
handed to them.
Right, and you're going to fucking shit your pants because watch what I'm about to do right here. You ready? Which exactly
yeah.
is what brings up the next topic of conversation here. Are these basic skills that are learned in a science class when you're in sixth grade? How to measure out to the milliliter, how to measure out to the exact gram, to understand the science behind making the dish that you're making. Come on, dude. That was awesome. That was awesome. You're sitting there.
That was good. I thought you were going on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt you again.
I thought you were
digging in there.
No, I wanted to get your feedback on that because I literally think these are basic skills. What you just said, some people don't have, are basic skills that we learn in a sixth grade science class. Science class.
You know, this is my opinion on why this is, why we can hand a recipe to a cook and they screw it up completely, because they're not taking the pride in every step. They only have their mind on the finished
right.
product. The older I get and the more mature I get in cooking, the more patience I get. I am getting old, dude. My back, I've thrown my back out twice in the last 2 months. Like, I feel way older than I am. But,
yeah.
you know, with age does come a certain amount of wisdom. In my case, maybe not that much, but it's given me the wisdom to be patient with food. I'm doing stuff now that I wouldn't have done before for the only fact that it takes too long. And
right.
you got to slow down, and you got to appreciate what's happening. You got to appreciate how you can turn apple scraps into wine and then turn that wine into vinegar, and how that fermentation process happens over a period of weeks or months.
Right.
Before, that's not something that I was interested in. And I was a pretty, you know, focused cook. But now it's like hyper, like it's like that to the 10th degree. They're not even worried about how perfectly they caramelize the onions. They want to puree it into that final thing and pass it through a tammy and say, look what I did. Or maybe it's just laziness and they just want to get through it. I don't know. But they're not taking the pride in a perfectly caramelized onion when that onion is going to go into a sauce and get pureed and get lost. But what they don't understand is like that perfectly caramelized onion is the foundation of the flavor of that sauce. And so if they don't take the time to stop and read and pay attention and take pride and take note in each and every step, they're never going to get the best final product. And, you know, I came to this conclusion when I started realizing, like, I would go over with my staff these recipes that were not done correctly, that didn't turn out correctly, and I would say, where did you go wrong? And they wouldn't be able to tell me.
Wow.
Well, you can't tell me because you didn't take the time to appreciate the step. The step isn't in there because I want to write more, because I want to spend more time on my computer. The step is in there for a purpose, and you missed the purpose. You missed the point entirely.
You have these guys who are following the recipe, but they're not actually understanding what the recipe is. Taking the time to read the recipe, to think about why. Why are we searing this here? Why are we drying these scallops off before we sear them? Just the little steps that are in there. You're not thinking about why you're doing the steps. You're just executing the steps, but not thinking about why.
Right.
Are you coming to my side of the table here? Because it sounds like you might be.
Negative goes right.
Well, listen, so I had Chef David Pietrzak from Polyscience on last week. And you talk about people.
Sure. Who, awesome.
A fantastic show. Talk about dropping knowledge on people. And a guy who is definitely probably on my side of the table, I thought, but maybe not as much after having the conversation with him. But because of this gentleman, you should check out the episode. I'm actually working on a 72-hour short rib right now. They're in my sous vide upstairs. And it's going to be fantastic. But just talking about understanding how different temperatures and different times, because that's our two biggest things when it comes to food, temperature and time, can affect the food itself. And when you cook these ribs at 80 degrees Celsius for 72 hours, instead of having that pot roast-like texture, it comes out as the most tender piece of steak you ever had in your life because it's 80 degrees.
No, of course it does. It's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Because
no, I was going to say it's taking all the collagens and fat and melting them into the meat that you normally wouldn't do. You normally render them out of the meat.
Well, it's beautiful, but to me, that's the science aspect of food that is so fucking cool that people don't understand.
Sure. I mean, every time I come on your show, and that's three times now in three consecutive seasons, let me just throw that out there again.
Thank you.
I mentioned when you and I had Taco Bell at 2:00 at night and you fucking schooled me on onions for an hour and I was sitting there and all like, yeah, this guy's a badass. He can tell me why onions make me cry.
Because all he did was fucking make dick jokes the whole time and drink beer.
Yeah, I didn't know you had it in you, to be honest. And what is that? Like 25 minutes and the first dick joke reference comes out. That's a record.
By the way, really quick, I always point this out every time.
That was a lot of restraint there.
Yes, it was. And every time we talk, man, I always that particular show itself, that first season of that show, I mean, I can't thank that show enough for what it did and for the people I got to meet and hang out with and the fucking chefs who were just so talented like yourself that I'm now friends with, that I can text and just talk to. It's fucking amazing. And
right. And
I don't think that they – you know, obviously you have to take advantage of things like that when you get a chance to do a television program. But to me – when you get to do a TV program such as that one, when you have 60 great people come along, or maybe it was 40. We'll take 20 out and say they weren't good. How about that? And you have 40 50, people.
50, 54, I think.
54. Okay, 54 who
I
are great.
So.
And,
yeah.
And you get to hang out with them and be friends with them and still have them on your show for the third time at three consecutive seasons and break it down. But you're right. And we had so many experiences on this show, which brought us very close together. That's what I'm talking about. I've always studied the science of the food. I think the science of the food is very amazing. I think what food does is awesome because I think food is such a powerful thing. And to me, sitting there having Taco Bell at 2 a.m. after having 96 beers and breaking down why an onion makes you cry, to you and explaining it to you as someone who is as talented as you are, and you're looking at me going, holy fuck, this guy is funny as shit. We had a great conversation, but I had no idea he could actually cook food and talk about shit. To me, again, that's a point in my corner for food is more science than art, because listen, I could talk art and make food and make plates look pretty all day long, but if I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, I don't think you have carte blanche to make it pretty. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah, it totally makes sense to me. I think the disconnect is in the definition of what we're actually talking about. Are we talking about consistency in restaurant execution? Then it's 100% science. Are we talking about the soul of food? Then it's not so clear cut to me.
Right. Right. Well, you know, listen, to me, it's been beaten to my head. The first things first, I think that one thing that you and I both would agree on ahead of time, before this conversation ever would happen, is the food has to taste good, right?
Sure. What's the point? Otherwise, it's food.
Right. It has to taste good. So if we can
leave your tweezers at home.
Yeah.
If you can't build flavor, leave your tweezers at home.
Are you a tweezer guy or no?
Please.
Okay.
It really depends. It really depends. I can see the point to them. I've used them during tastings and during like tasting menus and stuff. I've never been, and I don't think most people have had the chance to work in a kitchen that was staffed to the point where you could actually take the time to use tweezers. I just don't think it's.
Yeah, we don't all work.
I don't know that it's realistic, you know. Because what most people, line cooks coming up in the industry, people that eat out that have never been in the industry, what these people don't realize is the razor thin margins that restaurants are running on. Oh. Every second counts when it comes to labor costs, and it's just not feasible in a lot of situations. So don't get me wrong. I have concepts in mind that should I be lucky enough to be successful, that one day I'll open and they're going to have, like, everybody, we'll just remove everybody's hands and put, like, little tweezer hooks in their hands and it'll be good. But it's not realistic for the day-to-day restaurant.
Well, you're completely right. It's not realistic for the day-to-day restaurant. And that's the key thing I can get from that. And you look at, but the one thing I will say about them, people like yourself and me, we're larger gentlemen. We have larger hands. You know, sometimes the tweezers actually do work for plating up nice things, because my fucking giant hot dog fingers can't always take a piece of bull's blood baby beet green and place it exactly where I want to put it. However, I do refuse to touch tweezers, my friend. I refuse to touch them. I'm not going to be that guy. I never will be that guy.
You know, I can't say that, because there is like this rush of pride in the precision that goes into using a tool like that if you use it responsibly. I'm not against it. I just wish, to be honest with you, that it was like a realistic capability of the kitchens that I've run. But, you know, right now I'm doing 120 seats out of a 200 square foot kitchen. So like it's,
the food is
plated purposefully. Don't get me wrong. And if it's not plated exactly right, it will be replated. But it's the difference between using your fingers and using tweezers is literally at least 30 seconds a plate. You're putting out 200 plates a night, you know, that's 100 minutes.
Totally.
It's like, shit,
you're trying to put 40
you know?
Plates.
Like where'd that hour and 40 minutes go?
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to put 40 plates. That's absurd. Like I think that's a whole other conversation we could have in itself. I'm a big fan of letting the food be natural, let it fall how it falls, let it kind of do its thing when you put it down on the plate and not make a big deal about it. I'm completely against schmears these days. I won't fucking schmear anything. I'm so sick of that shit. You know what I've been doing, bro? I've been splattering. Have you done any of that shit yet? That's awesome.
I'm glad you think so. Instagram does too, by the way. Instagram does too. You're not alone. The splatter is a worldwide phenomenon. I'm very happy that you've discovered the splatter.
Well, I've been doing it with a lot of stuff, and actually, when I put it down in front of clients' plates, or I just said I had a takeover dinner of a really well-known restaurant here in Connecticut, and they were losing their mind over it. They thought, "Holy shit, that's amazing!" Well, isn't that what it's about? Isn't
let me tell
about,
you. Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, it's all about the guest experience. I don't doubt that at all. I mean, let me tell you something about the splatter. Let me tell you two things about the splatter. First of all, I concede that it can look awesome. It can look awesome.
It makes a fucking mess. It does make a fucking mess.
No, that's not even what I was going to say. For me, I'm a control freak, and if I can't make a consistent splatter on every plate, it's really hard for me to get around, and maybe I just haven't found the right dish. I'm not saying that I'm so against the splatter. I would never consider it. I mean, it looks great. Don't get me wrong. It looks great. Maybe I just haven't found the right application.
Damn. I don't know, man. I'm about to text you a picture right now. You're on your cell phone. I'm going to text you a picture because you got to see this fucking this fish dish I just did. And that's not doesn't really play very well on radio, obviously. But I like it. And the reason why I'm kind of down with it, man, is because it's a little bit different. Everybody on the fucking planet is always smearing, which I don't even fucking know how to spell that word, but they're smearing stuff on there, or they're just doing shit that doesn't make any sense.
I think that's a very Jewish interpretation of the swipe. I like to call it the swipe.
Nice try. You fucked up your English there. That was awesome, though. here, look, I'm going to send you a pic real quick. You can check it out. And to me, it's a very subtle
It
style.
Better be a fish dish and not anything vulgar.
No. I'm not giving you any dick pics yet. But this is one of the reasons why I love talking to you, because you and I both, we're very different cooks in the end. But in the end, we also, we're very, very similar, and we want to deliver a great product, and we love what we do. And I think that's where we're very, very similar. But me can't agree when you're making a dish together. I think if you and I did a pop-up dinner, it'd be night and day every other dish, and it'd be fucking amazing.
No, it would be cool for sure. There would be no doubt one way or the other in the diner's minds whose was whose.
Well, you know what the fun part would be? We should do it. We should make it almost like a wrestling show. We go one on one against each other, plate for plate, and we cut promos. You could hit me with a chair. It'd be a fucking hell of a show.
You know what would be interesting? I'm adding to yours, not replacing it. I'm adding to it.
Got you.
If we had listeners send in dishes, and you and I made our interpretation of those dishes round for round, 6, 8, 10 rounds.
Okay, you know what? I don't hate that, and we should make that shit happen. I'm gonna make that shit happen.
Obviously, I would love it.
We can't do it now because we're getting so close to the end of the show here, but we're going to make that happen. That's a good-ass idea. And maybe we even bring on a third party. Maybe we should bring on a third party, someone else we know, or I don't know, I don't have anybody in mind yet, to come on and also be a part of that. So there's three people.
Sure.
So there can be a tiebreaker, essentially. That's what I'm looking for.
You know, I think what is really interesting about that kind of idea is that's where the art comes into it. You take something... You take the same idea and you put your interpretation on it.
Did you see the plate I just
You know, that's the... let me see. Hold on.
It's an awesome plate, guys. What it is...
I haven't gotten anything.
Are you serious? It's a poached sea bass. Yeah. It's beautiful. Oh, you probably can't get messages when you're fucking on the gimmick, right? On the phone? Basically, it's a poached local sea bass with local arugula, some backyard green beans. It's a beautiful play, a little lemon emulsion. It's awesome. But you'll see the idea of what the splatter is on that. So I think one of the things that you and I can both agree on, I had nothing to fight you at all on your West Coast versus East Coast. I agree completely with you with everything you said. But I don't know much about West Coast. One thing I would say is that I feel like a lot of trends these days could start in the West Coast and may take a little time to get over here. We just found out about this thing called an avocado. I've never seen this. It's green. You know what I'm talking about? It's got like a little thing in the middle of it.
Yeah, I have a swimming pool filled with them. We're not allowed to use water right now, so we have to use avocados.
You guys wash everything in avocados.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
That's fucking great. Bring back fucking Schwarzenegger. But I think it's similar. I think we have similar views in that. However, I think that we might have actually hit a point when it comes to the art versus science thing that we both might agree on. I think that once the food tastes good, you can then make it look good, and everyone should understand. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something that you didn't end up saying. So
yeah, you're kind of a bully. You're kind of a bully. You're just jumping in there, like relax, dude.
I know. I'm surprised I've come back for three consecutive seasons.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep asking you to come back on and talk to me.
Well, because you're because True Cooks bailed on you. So I was I was the secondary pick, but it's okay. You know,
well,
sometimes
the
secondary picks.
Chad had to work a long party. I was going to ask you wanted to be the following week, but whatever. We moved things around a little bit. You and I have been talking. You now you make it sound like I don't want to talk to you. That's bullshit. Of course I want to talk to you. You're all.
You know what? I love True Cooks, but they bailed on you. They left you hanging. I had to come in and do cleanup.
You picked up the slack. You jumped on Dish. You cleared out the pit. I'm happy. You did a great job. So, but we're not hating on a True Cook. Listen, the dude had a party tonight. It came up last minute. He couldn't do it. It's fine. These things happen. He actually is.
It's cool. Sometimes you just can't rely on people. It's all good.
Oh my God. Well, check it out. Be careful. Don't piss them off. They have a mind of their own.
Oh man, I follow them on everything. They probably have no idea who I am, but I got nothing but love.
No, it's not actual True Cooks I'm worried about. It's the fucking followers I'm worried about.
Oh yeah, you got listeners just dropping off right now.
Okay,
from who? I don't know that guy. Guy's a clown.
They just said fuck you.
See his hair?
But I think
what color's your hair right now?
Right now it's black. Believe it or not, I had a photo shoot where I had to have black hair, so it's nothing special now.
Oh my God, do you guys hear this guy? I had a photo shoot.
I'm fancy. What do you want from me? Listen, I'm getting old. Go on Instagram.
What was the photo shoot?
Pink bowls. Come on. Look, well, we take it where we can get it, sir. And I posted the picture on Instagram in jest to make fun of myself. You can see it there. This show is not about me. It's about you. Can we stop talking about me?
I don't know. I posted a picture to make fun of myself.
Yeah.
I think some might call that narcissism, but I'm not sure.
Okay, here we go. Anyway.
All right, so how about we lay out?
I want to thank my
guests
for coming on tonight.
Listen, I want you to lay out for me, your view of art versus science here. What is food to you?
Food to me is a complete science. Food to me is understanding what happens when you sear an onion versus searing a piece of meat, i.e. caramelization versus the Maillard reaction. You know, it's understanding a basic pH scale. It's understanding when you need to add more salt. It's understanding when there's too much alkaline versus too much acidity. How can you affect that? How can you change that? How can you fix it? It's understanding that when you burn something, carbon forms. And when carbon forms, the alkaline is out of control. And sometimes you can affect it by adding a little bit of acid to it. It's understanding flavor. It's understanding combinations. It's understanding exactly what the fuck does umami mean. It's understanding those things. It's understanding that people who were born after the year 2000 don't have nearly the amount of umami flavor in their mouth as people who were born back in 1960. It's the science behind it. It's the understanding of where food is, where it's come from, and where it began. Because to me, once you get that, then you have full carte blanche to make it look beautiful on a plate and create artwork, if that's what you want to call it. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
I thought that was pretty fucking clear.
No, I'm on board with what you're saying, except I think you left out a very, very important part of food. So
well,
you're focused on two things.
I do wear assless chaps when I cook. You're right. I didn't say that.
Right. But besides that, okay, look. This is what I heard, and maybe I'm wrong. This is what I heard. You got to make food taste good first and then look good second.
Completely.
But
yeah.
What you left out is the emotional connection that a diner has with food. And that emotional connection really doesn't come down to what it tastes like or to what it looks like. If it tastes great, fine. I had a very large tasting meal at a restaurant that I don't want to name because I love the chef. But it was technically flawless. It was technically flawless and everything tasted good. But
right.
I left hating the experience because nothing resonated with me. There was nothing about that meal that made me have an emotional connection with it. So to me, if a meal can inspire an emotional connection, then it's art. If something inspires an emotional connection, then it can only be art. Now, the science, yes, of course that's important. It comes down to consistency. But you know what? In all honesty, somebody that doesn't know a goddamn thing about a hydrogen bond or about osmosis can go in a kitchen and cook a recipe from their childhood and serve it to somebody, and that person can go, holy shit, this takes me back to my childhood. This is amazing. Now, they couldn't recreate it probably the same, and they couldn't find the consistency to be able to turn it out in a restaurant, but that's not what makes it art. Looking pretty on the plate is not what makes it art. Tasting good is not what makes it science. If you can find that connection, then it's art. So let me share a real quick story with you.
Please.
When I had my first restaurant in Charlotte, we had a mint ice cream on the menu, but I'd send it out to tables all the time.
Okay.
This mint ice cream was made with 5 ingredients: milk, cream, egg, sugar, and real spearmint leaves. That was it. Okay?
Okay.
Now, yes, yeah. We used liquid nitrogen,
simple.
And yeah, we sous vide it and all that, but it didn't. Nobody cared. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
So there was this day when there was this old lady. She's probably 85.
Right.
She's sitting in front of the kitchen pass. And I took her out a scoop of that mint ice cream after she was done with her meal. And let me tell you something. This restaurant had foams and spuma and suds and sous vide and all this shit, right? Nobody cared.
Right.
Okay? I took this lady, this one scoop of mint ice cream, and I tell her what it is. I say it's mint ice cream. That's all I say. And she says, oh, you know, thank you so much. And she takes a bite of it. And for a moment, she's gone. Her eyes, she's gone. She's somewhere else, you know?
Right, right, right.
And she looks up at me when she comes to. And, dude, I am not exaggerating when I tell you that tears swelled up and started rolling down her cheeks. Now, she's not bawling, but the tears are rolling
sure.
down her cheeks as she looks up at me like a cat, like a little kitten.
Yeah.
And she
yeah.
says, that ice cream just took me back to my grandmother's garden when I would
wow.
run around when I was a little kid. I would pick mint off the tree, and I would eat it. It was a scoop of ice cream in a little dish. There's
yeah.
nothing artistically plated about that, but that experience is the art in it. And that's what I love about mm-hmm. food, dude. You can universally, food has the ability to get that reaction out of everybody. If I took my dad
yep.
to an art museum, he would have no fucking clue what is this painting about. It's just a bunch of squiggles, or what is that, you know, big statue? It means nothing to me. Or some people are that way about music. Like, it sounds good, but I don't really get it. But food has the ability to take you back somewhere better. And to me, that can only be art. So when you're talking about science and consistency and execution and being able to replicate it and being able to understand why it tastes that way, fine, yeah, there's science all over the place. But that is not what gives food its power. That's what gives us power over food.
Wow. You know, and you're right about that. And listen, I'm going to agree with you here on one thing. Like at one point, you know, the way you described that was way more eloquent than I did. I've actually described that. I've had that happen a couple of times with food, not bragging. And if you're going to take off in your spaceship, you can. It's totally fine. All I hear is the fucking plane going. Anyway, so...
I'm sorry. No, I'm outside. We live under the LAX landing zone, so sometimes
yeah.
you're going to hear that stuff, so...
Well, I know the food business isn't doing very good with you these days. You're actually landing planes right now. You've got those little fucking shiny gimmicks in your hand, and you're waving your arms as you're trying to talk on the phone with me. I understand.
I'm not far from that, let me tell you.
You know, I made a joke. It's not even a joke, but it's that what you're saying is that moment that happens when people eat food. And to me, I've described it best as when you give somebody something to eat, you give somebody something you've made, something you've created, and they eat it, and they look at you like you did a magic trick. They look at you like, holy
right.
shit, this is amazing. And I've had that happen a few times in my life, and it doesn't happen all the time, but you're right, and that is an emotional connection completely, and it's what we strive as chefs to have happen when we make food. We strive to bring people back to their childhood, to bring people back to emotions, to give them that emotional connection to the food, to give them that emotional response, to elicit that emotional response to the food. However, That is an emotional response to the food. I do not believe that is art.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. What is art?
Well, it was a dude in my I went to culinary school with a dude named Art. He was like 70 years old. He got yelled at.
My grandfather was named Art.
It's a good name.
It's amazing.
That's a good name. That's a good name. We need more Art.
Listen.
We need more Jerry's. We need more Arts. We need more Joes. We need more Earls. Nowadays, I think anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Mathematics and science.
Yeah.
Mathematics and, let's say, specifically chemistry,
mm-hmm.
play a huge role in our ability to manipulate food, recreate
yeah.
food in a consistent way. But mathematics and chemistry will never be able to make someone feel happy or sad outside of the person doing it. You know, a chemist that solves some problem is probably thrilled with himself. But outside of that person, has no ability to affect the mindset, the mood of anybody else around them.
Well,
so,
mathematically, if I make a lot of money, I could buy a jet ski. And if I'm on a jet ski, I'm pretty happy. You ever seen anybody not happy on a jet ski?
You're two steps removed from mathematics at that point. You're practically to Kevin Bacon already.
Wow.
My point is, mathematics and chemistry in themselves cannot evoke that kind of emotion, but food can, okay? So food is not chemistry purely. It's not mathematics purely. Now, if you're saying to me that things that evoke emotion are not art, I don't know what a better definition of art is. Now, I have heard it said that art can only be art if it's only intended to be art and have no other purpose. I don't believe that. Because it's just not what I believe. I think food that creates that emotional connection, reinforces that emotional connection, is art. I think that's
the only thing
art can be. Because somebody staring at a painting that has no connection with it,
right?
They say, this isn't art. This isn't
right.
art to me. So, you know, I think when people look at food, I think this is where the conversation is blurred in a lot of people's minds, and maybe I'm looking at it incorrectly, and I don't think that my way is necessarily right, but my opinion is this conversation with everybody I have it with, it gets blurred because they focus specifically on what the plate looks like. Is that
right.
art? Now, I get it. There's a lot of chefs, hopefully I'm one of them, that are creating beautiful plates that are very artistic, that take a keen eye, that take understanding the balance of colors and shapes and sizes. Like, that's artistic.
Right.
But there's no connection there. It would be like my dad looking at something. Now, don't get me wrong. That can amp somebody up. That can get somebody excited for what they're about to eat. And to your point, if they then eat that really beautiful plate and it tastes like nothing or tastes like garbage or doesn't make sense with the flavors they've used or the techniques they've used, then it falls flat. But my argument would be that dish fails to be artistic. That dish fails. It's not that it didn't have the potential to be art. It fails. So anyway, I think that the blur becomes when people focus purely on what the plate looks like.
Well, first of all, you shit on your dad twice in this conversation. I don't appreciate that. I'm sure your dad's a nice guy. That was pretty fucking hardcore. You really destroyed your dad twice. Second of all, you had me. You got me there. You should have dropped the mic and walked away. When you said, when you're looking at a piece of art and it evokes an emotion, I don't know what is that was a fantastic point. And I don't really have anything to come back with that. Like, that's pretty good, man. I'm willing to give you points there and say, you know what? You may have gotten me because you're right. On that, when I make something simple as a chicken stew, and it reminds me of when I was a kid, and my mother, who couldn't cook her way out of a fucking McDonald's, would make this chicken stew. It reminds me of those moments when I'm having a cheeseburger, and how much I wish it was like the Whataburger I used to get in Colonial Heights, Virginia. But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. When I have a piece of fried chicken, it reminds me, when I put hot sauce on it, of going to Lee's Fried Chicken when I would save my money as a 20-something year old, save my money to be able to buy a bucket of fried chicken to have on a Monday night to watch wrestling. You're right. These emotions are what, I guess, is art. And emotion could be that, because when you look at a great piece of art, it invokes an emotion in you. And, I can't argue that. And on that note, man, I think that I think I'm conceding right now.
Whoa. I don't think anybody expected that.
Well, I don't know how to argue that, because you're completely right. When you said that, I started thinking back to the moments of my life. Every morning when I have an egg sandwich, simple white bread, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, an egg that is scrambled up, kept whole, put on a piece of bread with a piece of bacon or even just some cheese, it takes me back to my childhood as being one of the first things I ever cooked in my entire life. And that, is it delicious? Is it fantastic? Whatever, who cares? It brings me back to that moment every single time I do that. I can't argue what you said. I can't argue that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
No, I appreciate it. You know, and this is not a thing I thought I'd come on the show and just talk off the cuff. I mean, this is, I think, what all of us think about every day.
Well, I think it shows there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it that goes into food. You have someone like myself who I strive to learn more knowledge, to learn more science behind, to understanding what's happening to the amino acids when we sear protein, to understanding what's happening when you slice an onion and you start to cry, just to understand that part of it. But I think in somewhat of that understanding that I strive so hard to get, sometimes I forget that when I have lasagna, I put cream cheese on it instead of ricotta cheese, because that's what my mom did for me growing up.
Right.
And not because she thought it was a great idea, but she didn't know the difference between ricotta cheese and cream cheese. However, it tastes fantastic. I love it that way now. It's become a staple thing I do for clients. I mean, it's...
Don't get me wrong. Like, sometimes I think I would love nothing more than if there was not that component to it, if I didn't do it for that reason. You get on Yelp and you read, oh, this tastes like garbage, and you have an analytical mind that says, okay, you know, what was the pH balance? Was the pH balance off, or did I cook it a degree too high? And you just go about it scientifically to change it. But those of us that have a passion for this, we don't do that. We think, I failed to make an emotional connection between myself and my guests through my food.
Yeah.
And so we take it personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just part of being what we do, who we are, that drives us to get out of bed every morning and put on our clogs and go to another 16-hour day when it's a beautiful day outside and the beach is 5 minutes away. You know, because we strive to make that connection one guest at a time. And for me, every single guest that comes through my door that doesn't get that is so much more than a failure. It's a missed opportunity to make a connection with somebody.
Well, and, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for both of them, and I definitely agree with the artistic part of it when you throw the emotional aspect into it. However, I do – I'm not disagreeing, but I would like to just point out that understanding the science behind it does make you a better cook. And just to tag what you said there – and by the way, this show is supposed to be an hour tonight. We've already gone late because I can talk to you fucking forever. We've only got about 10 minutes left here, but –
You know what, let me jump in real quick and say what
I don't
is
I
on
I
my mind
you.
Because it has to do exactly with what you're saying. I do not want artistic cooks in my kitchen. I don't want that. I want technically skilled cooks, because they can take what's come out of my mind, put on a plate, put into recipe, and they can make it consistent time after time after time after time after time. So I have the ability to make the most connections with the most people. And through me, through an extension of me as my cooks, I think I've earned that right, because for a long time I was in kitchens making recipes to the T so my bosses, so my chefs could make that connection with guests. So there is a huge, huge scientific aspect to what we do. Without it, there would be no consistency. There would be no restaurants in the way that we know restaurants. There would be no chefs in the way that we know chefs, because it would all come down to the individual cooks. And that is what we're missing right now, is those cooks that are willing to put in the time to express somebody else's visions so they right. can learn the technical side of things, yeah. so they can learn old school pickling, braising, smoking, curing, new school, sous vide, compression, nitrogen, all that stuff, the whole gamut, you know. So those things, and listen, this is what the young cooks I think really need. And I hope this echoes what you're trying to say, is without those skills, without that knowledge, without those years that I spent in the trenches, I would not be able to effectively make connections with my diners today.
Wow. I mean, I couldn't have summed it up any better. And you're absolutely 100% correct. We're now on the same team, no doubt. I mean, you're right. You have to have all those components to make that connection. When you make that connection, that is the art when it comes down to making food. And you know what? Listen, man, I'm lucky. I've got one of those with me now who works with me on a daily basis. And big shout out to Redline. He was on here ahead of time. He is a guy who came into this business with no experience, has been with me for 3 years now, and is just learning his ass off and understanding what it means to make a guest happy, because that's what it comes down to in the end. And I think you're right, dude, that emotional connection is where it comes from.
Absolutely.
So look, I don't say this very much, but you did very well in this conversation. I'm not going to say that but you did a very
good
job.
There is no winning and losing in these conversations, man. Everybody comes out for the better.
I'm going for the joke, dude. Way to bring it back to being serious.
Okay, I'm sorry. Plum couldn't tell a joke. Holy shit, the world's going to end. Go for it. What were you saying?
Look, man, you're right. And I agree with you on that stuff, man. And it's actually, I'm doing a client tomorrow, and what some of the things you said tonight is going to make me really, really put thought into what I'm making tomorrow for this client that I have to deal with, and make me second guess some of the things I might do. So before you fly away in your spaceship right here in the background, we've only got a couple minutes left. You're the only motherfucker on Cutthroat Kitchen who's been on that fucking show. And, dude, you won $25,000. Have they paid you yet?
Yeah, I got that money. We went to Costa Rica.
Cool. So the last time you were on the show, you'd been paid by them, right?
The last time I had not been paid by them. I was waiting.
Okay. Because I remember when I
can't remember. I know I was sitting in my old apartment in a nice part of town before I decided I'd go a year without pay to try to open a restaurant. Sure. So it was around the time I got paid. I know that. But, dude, nothing like opening the mail, seeing your name on an envelope, opening up, and there's a legitimate check for $25,000 instead of, like, some bullshit publisher's clearinghouse thing. It was a deep sigh of relief, and then we blew it all. And now it's like, you know, it's that suffocation of like, where did all that money go? Like,
Dude.
It was good.
When I did Cutthroat, we hung out a little bit when I was there in LA and had dinner a couple times, and it was awesome to see you and your wife, of course. But I didn't win, but my episode hadn't aired the last time that we had talked, and I'm not sure if you saw my episode, but I'm very proud of how that
I
turned
did.
Out. That show,
you are proud of it.
That show is an hour long, right? An hour.
Yeah.
I went out in the first round because of the fucking golf gimmick, right? Right?
And you had 25 minutes on camera?
25 minutes? It's all me. It's fucking me making
Dude,
me stupid.
They extended like the first round. The last two rounds were like commercial breaks because they had to get their plum time in.
Dude, you've been on this program. You saw it. You know how the things go, like how things work on that program. But they really gave me a lot of fucking time, didn't they?
It was good. Yeah, you had a good showing.
And they didn't put me over as the bad guy. They put me over as the guy who got fucked by the fucking gimmicks and whatever. I'm hoping to get the call to do redemption because I'll go win that motherfucker. I'm telling you. I'm going to call my man Kyle and tell me how to do it. I ain't spending shit. I ain't doing nothing. They can give me what they want. I'll put a fucking cone on my head, just like you did. I'll do that shit.
Hopefully you have a better chance getting back on than I did, because I got stiff. So I was like, you know, they've had like several things where like they bring back past winners, stiff.
Oh.
I mean, like they had like the Superstar Sabotage where they took one of my old bosses on there and he did really well. And I was just like, I could hang with these guys. But no, stiff.
Oh, my God.
I was like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm the only person that's won all 25 Gs. Maybe I could be, and I'm in L.A., and I'm opening a restaurant. Maybe I could go on as a judge. They wouldn't even return my call. So, you know, it is what it is.
And they're doing that fucking championship bullshit on grocery games now, but Relativity, who was the producers, are going out of business. They're being sued. Anyway, they're doing the fucking champions round. They haven't got anybody from the first season. My episode is the most downloaded episode on iTunes of Grocery Games, one of the highest watched episodes of Grocery Games. They should call my jackass. I went on there and fucking dropped a hammer on motherfuckers. It's bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I will say, well, I'm not going to go there. I love you, Food Network. Anytime you want to give me a call, give me a call. I'm around. I'm in L.A. But what I will say is, better to me than the 25 Gs, because that's come and gone, and I'll never see it again. The show was finally the one thing that got me mentioned on Wikipedia, so I feel legitimized. I feel like, oh, okay, like I've done something. Like mine, it's not a link. Anybody listening that knows how to work Wikipedia that wants to go on and put a link to Kyle Schuette, that would be great. But right now, my name is at least on the Cutthroat Kitchen page, so that was pretty. That was pretty exciting for me. I liked that, and I didn't find it because I rarely Google myself. But one of the people I went to high school with was like, "Dude, you're on Wikipedia. Sick."
You got this.
Like, oh, yeah,
you
that's
got
cool.
So. Look here, man.
Google
I gotta
yourself.
Get this, me. We'll talk about that the next time. I've got to get into a couple of plugs. I got 3 minutes and 27 seconds left. Hang tight with me, man. Do a couple plugs with me here in the end. What do you say? You stick with me for 3 more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Sounds good.
Let's get into some plugs real quick. That's right, everybody. You've been checking out Plum Love Food Live right here. The number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio. You know that, Kyle? We're the number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio these days. How about that?
I don't doubt it.
It's bad, dude. And I want a big thanks to my guest, Eric Redline, coming on, my sous chef, talking about our experiences on the one and only Jerry Springer show today, which is fucking crazy. If you're in the Tri-State area, check it out. Make sure you find him on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at RedLeader1. And, of course, a big shout-out to my friend, mad respect to the incredibly talented and even better person, Chef Kyle Schuette. Chef, tell him how to find you on all the social media.
It's at Chef Kyle Schuette on just about everything, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, www.kyleschuette.com. That's S-C-H-U-T-T-E.
Badass.
That was my radio voice. Was it good?
No, dude, that was fucking badass. And the way you finished it and you shut up and move on, that was really fucking good right there. He's got some awesome food pics there. And, of course, you can follow me on them Instagrams and on them Twitter, at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum. Hey, check it out. My man Chef Kyle would agree with me right now. It's that holiday time. If you're looking for a gift, go to plumlovefoods.com, click that Amazon banner. Are you a Prime? Are you guys Amazon Prime at your house?
Oh man, I wish we could afford it. All those like free downloads, or you can watch all that streaming stuff like we talk about all the time. It's just, you know, we blew that 25G, so.
Well, that's the way it goes. But you can go through plumlovefoods.com, click on the Amazon banner, get your holiday presents there. They throw us a couple of shekels and don't charge anything extra. And don't forget, also, if you're looking for a brand new knife, my good friends locally here in Danbury, in Connecticut, Ergo Chef, use promo code PLUM15 off, make you a badass brand new knife. They are great people. Chef, get us out of here, man. What else do you want to plug? Tell us something.
Oh, shit. Put me on the spot. I don't know. Those Ergo knives look dope, by the way. I've been looking at those for a while, but I've never used one. I can't wait to get my hands on one.
I'm going to get you one, man. That's what we're going to do. Hey, check it out, everybody. Next week, we got 1 minute left here on the air for the kick us off. Next week, the plan is Chef Chad's going to be here for True Cooks Radio. I want to thank my man, Chef Kyle Schuette, for coming on, brother. You are the man. Great conversation, as always. I look forward to the next time talking and hanging out, man. Please give my best to your wife, and I'll catch you on down the road, brother.
For sure.
My man.
Thanks, Plum.
You got it, dude. I'll talk to you soon. There he goes, everybody. Hey, thanks for checking us out this week. Next week, we are live again, Monday night, 10 p.m., Blog Talk Radio. Big shout-out to everybody. Thanks for checking us out. And everybody, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. I'll catch you guys later on. Thanks. I came to play!